ॐ ज्ञानतिमिदन्धस्य ज्ञानञ्जनशलाकाय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरुवे नमः. Guru replied, O your majesty, who in this world can repay his debt to his father? By the mercy of one's father, one gets the human form of life, which can enable one to become an associate of the Supreme Lord. But the father gives the seed of the body, and this seed gradually grows and develops until one ultimately attains the developed human body with consciousness higher than that of the animals. In the human body, one can be elevated to the higher planets, and furthermore, if one cultivates Krishna consciousness, one can return home back to Godhead. This important human body is obtained by the grace of the Father, and therefore everyone is indebted to his Father. Of course, in other lives, one also gets a father and mother. Even cats and dogs have fathers and mothers. But in the human form of life, the father and mother can award their son the greatest benediction by teaching him to become a devotee. When one becomes a devotee, he achieves the greatest benediction because he completely averts the repetition of birth and death. Therefore, the father who trains his child in Krishna consciousness is the most benevolent father in the world. It is said, Janame janame shave pita mata pai Krishna guru nahi mile bhaja hari e. Everyone gets a father and mother. But if one gets the benediction of Krishna and Guru, he can conquer material nature and return home back to Godhead. In Vedic culture, the father is very much respected. Practically in most cultures throughout the world until recently, parents were much respected. Nowadays, respect is breaking down. There are various reasons for this. One reason is the different ideas propagated that everyone is equal in all respects. There's no division. And another reason is because fathers or people who are expected to be respectable aren't acting in a respectable way. The obvious example is the President of America, who's highly respected position, but he's been exposed as acting in a most disrespectful way, or unworthy manner. And even though he's going on as the president, as if nothing happened, everyone knows something happened which is not worthy of his status. Although it appears that the American people in general, overall, they don't really care that much. You see how much human society has degraded. When America was established, there's no question. And probably they couldn't even imagine in those days the kind of thing that he's been doing. There would be no question of him continuing in office. And in the time of even 50 years ago, if he was exposed for such things, he wouldn't be allowed to continue. But now everything is considered normal, everything's okay. Respect is lost. There's no respect. Everyone's just allowed to act like an animal. We finally proved Darwin's theory correct. Man is an animal. Practically, his idea is evolution. That man is evolving to higher platform. But we're seeing that largely, if you see what are the philosophical roots of the decline, largely due to his theory, there is devolution, going backwards. Standards are going down. Of course, we say in the Western countries, everyone's a meat eater and so many things, but even there were very high standards. Previously, there were very high standards of morality among the common people. There wasn't any divorce. Someone would be very bad. There were words they used to, from the Bible they used to use for premarital sex, which was just considered. What's the word? Fornication, I think the word is. And adultery. But no one talks. You don't even hear the word adultery anymore because it's not considered bad. It's just considered quite normal. If you like the next door neighbor's wife, well, just it's a free world. Everyone should act for their own pleasure as much as possible. That's the underlying philosophy of modern life. Everyone should do if it whatever you, if it feels good, do it. Just do it. There's this animal life. So naturally, children don't respect their parents if they see that they have no morals, no principles, and they're just animals. They may not even know who their parents are. There's so many cases you find that someone introduces, this is my brother. It's not, well, it's, at least we have the same mother. But that was, there are families you'll find, three children from the same so-called family, from the same mother. It's quite common, but they're all from different fathers. It's quite, even in India now you find, you see so many cases, and get married after some time, don't like it, try again, marry someone else. So who's going to respect? Neither the parents, they don't care for the children as much as they care for their own sense gratification. Otherwise, why would they run off and get married again or just live with someone? And they don't care for their children, and they don't care to instill any sense of respect in their children. Rather, in many cases, it's the opposite. You'll find that if the children are coming to a certain age and they're not becoming lusty and loose, that the parents become worried. What's wrong with them? Isn't it in the Western countries? Throw them out on the street. Bring a girl for them. What's wrong with them? Or if they don't want a girl, bring a boy. Somehow or other, they have to have sex. This is going on. It's a horrible, horrible life. Society, complete breakdown of society. So we see here the father was respected. Because he was respectable, because he gave the human form of life, which is meant for elevation. And because he taught the children to act in such a way, therefore the parents are respected as the first guru. We still have a semblance of that in modern Indian culture, although that's breaking down also for the same reason as it broke down in the West. The same reason that the family unit broke down in the West. Practically, everything started changing in the West. Big social changes came from about the mid-60s it began. Mid-60s to the mid-70s was a very volatile period, especially in England, America, especially in these countries which are leading the world in degradation. Previously, the general thing was that children followed their parents, even, but then it became the hippie generation came out, our generation. The hippie generation came out who didn't want to follow. They grew their hair long, the men grew their hair long, which was considered absolutely horrible. It was considered very bad. And they just did whatever they liked. They dropped out of college. They protested. They didn't want to follow the government who said, you must go to fight in Vietnam. There was a famous song by the great philosopher of the Western world, Bob Dylan, that the times are a-changing. Your sons and your daughters are beyond your control. But now that's considered, what was considered revolutionary in the 60s and 70s is now considered quite normal. It was called the sexual revolution, they called this. That the sexual revolution, when the contraceptives came in, and then these ideas that just enjoy here, there, and everywhere, and homosexuality, which was banned, became socially acceptable. Quite acceptable. In fact, in many states in America, if you even say anything against homosexuality, it's illegal. They'll make a case against you. It's just like here in India, it's not allowed to say anything against sati. So there, you're not allowed to say anything against homosexuality. You're allowed to make jokes about homosexuals, or beat them up, or all the things that people used to do. It's considered quite normal. So they philosophize it some way or other. They write books, how to bring up your children, but people are still interested in such things. They write how children should be, sex education, from the earliest age, children should be educated about sex, both heterosex and homosex. we should be educated about these things, because probably a lot of them are going to be homosexuals, or if they're not, then a lot of the people they meet, and, you know, probably like a lot of the politicians and MPs, and they're all people in the army even. So it's they've philosophized degradation. They have they made a whole idea that this what is absolutely degraded society, in which no one cares for anyone else. There's some superficial, but there's no one's prepared to take responsibility. You see, like your father and son relationship, that they have some kind of philosophy. They make some United Nations Charter of Human Rights, how women's rights, children's rights, this rights, that rights, and other rights. There's so much stress on the rights of everybody. But what is the responsibility? It is the right of someone to, apparently in every country all over the world, to be divorced and married again. It's your right, because the idea is you have to enjoy life as much as possible. But then what about the responsibility? You have children, you're supposed to look after them. In their human rights, they say, all the children have the right to education, but that becomes the government's responsibility. Everything simply becomes the government's responsibility. A man enjoys a woman, she becomes pregnant, she decides, shall I have an abortion or not? Okay, I think I'll have a baby. All right, we don't have an abortion this time. So she has a child, but it's not the father's responsibility to look up. It becomes the government's responsibility. And as Prabhupada said, this is encouraging prostitution, because then people say, well, why should I? There's no social pressure to look after the children, because the government will do it. The government will, and sometimes we hear that even they have more children just because they get more money from the government. And even even places which were very religious previously, quite pious, Ireland was famous as a, was considered a very backward place because they were so religious and pious, at least in some ways. I mean, Catholics and Protestants fought each other and killed each other, but at least in terms of family life, divorce, unmarried women, they didn't have such things. It apparently wasn't there. The divorce was just allowed a short time, abortion was just allowed maybe less than 2 years ago. But the government had adopted a policy that all the other countries are doing, that you have to pay and you have to give money to unmarried women. So what to do with all these unmarried women who are having, because they see the TV and the cinema and sex, this, so they're doing. They have sex education in school, so they're doing it. So now I have one disciple from a small town in Ireland. And she said that in the street she lived in, that they're in 40 houses, there are only two, that means herself and one other, which don't have unmarried mothers in them. So the times they are a change, but it's not beneficial. How the society is absolutely degraded. And people, just like we see, they don't care, Clinton, what he's doing, because they're more or less happy. Just like the pig in the stool is happy. It's the same happiness. The pig in the dream, you see, they wag their tail, and they're quite happy. They feel quite happy. Here we also have some pigs in the next field. You hear them early in the morning, some deep grunting sound, very contented, because then people go there to pass stool, so they're very happy. They have stool to eat, fresh every morning. And sex life is available, there are so many pigs. Just get up on the back of one of them, doesn't matter whether, you have to consider whether it's your mother or daughter or sister or whatever, it's available. So they feel quite happy. So in the modern age, people, they're superficially feeling happy with sense gratification, because they're brought up to think that sense gratification will make you happy. But actually, you see, the countries where this grossly hedonistic society is strongest, the people are extremely frustrated. Isn't it? In Russia, people are, well, you could say they have economic problems, therefore they're frustrated. But in England, in America, they're so frustrated. It's very common in America and England that people are driving a big car, that means they don't have any economic, they have plenty of money. And someone just at the stoplight in front of them, they just hesitate for like 2 seconds when the lights change to green, and they get out and they, well, in America they might even, it's called road rage, they call it in England, that they get out and they spit in their, my father, he was driving and he was in a car, and there was in a narrow street, there was parking on both sides, so he was in a car, they were driving, and they were right at the end of the avenue of, with double part of cars, and a car came the other way, and he should have got out of the way and let it through, obviously, because he was almost through. But the guy didn't. He stopped right in the middle. And then, so, you know, they were just, he wouldn't move. And then the car, the driver, who my father wasn't driving, he backed out just to this pig-headed guy, drove through, and just stopped as he came through and spat in the guy, in the face of the person who was driving the car, because he didn't immediately accede to his pig-headed demand that he should back up 50 meters rather than he should back up 5 meters. You follow what I say? So this kind of attitude means, why do people behave like this? Because they're extremely frustrated. They just, they want the idea that I should enjoy. It is my right to, I must enjoy, I must have all facilities for enjoyment. Everyone in the world should just do whatever I want. But naturally, the world doesn't work like that. And people become very frustrated. Or even if they do have facilities like that, then you see, then they just degrade themselves more and more, and they don't become happy. Bill Clinton, top of the world, he's, and by his indulgence in sense gratification, he's just become a fool, a laughing stock. So, what is the value of such a society? Some people are stopping to think about it. Most people, they're just so busily caught up in this gross sense gratification, they can't think. They don't stay. They're not thinking. Atato brahma jigyasa. Now we achieve the human form of life. We should inquire into the absolute truth, but there is no such inquiry. Absolutely foolish society. Prabhupada is absolutely correct. Who's preaching like Prabhupada is preaching? He's turning topless, bottomless cats and dogs. Prabhupada he saw that this is absolutely below human dignity. Prabhupada was so strong. Hog dog society. It's a fact. It's not just Prabhupada is some kind of antiquated moralist. I remember as a kid in England being brought Mrs. Mary Whitehouse. She was a prominent voice against the incoming degradation. They were allowing so much pornography and sex in so many ways. She was a prominent voice against it. And all the press, they just made her out to be a complete fool. They used to call her censorship. That was the main issue she was against. Because there used to be censorship. Just like in India, they didn't used to allow even kissing on the screen. It was completely taboo because the society was like that. So even in the West up to the 60s, there were many taboos against nudity on the screen. And so she, when this started to come in, then how they brought it in the name of art. This is art. So in the name of art is considered sacred. So in the name of art, now you have all these movies which are just absolutely animalistic. So she was against that, and the whole press just derided her. What a fool. She's so stupid, old-fashioned, out of date. So it wasn't that Prabhupada was simply some antiquated moralist, but he was saying, what is the standard for human society? Now you've got this human form of life. This human form of life is meant for self-realization. But instead, you're degrading yourself so badly, so horribly. In the history of human civilization, where has there been more degradation? And you see, what is the result? That so many wars, murders, karmic reactions in the form of plane crashes, earthquakes. No one is safe. Anyone at any time can just be a victim of horrible violence. This is the modern society. So these kind of principles that Prabhupada is talking about, the children respecting the parents training, here Prabhupada mentions the parents training the children in Krishna consciousness. It's practically like a dream in modern society. You can hardly imagine. We're so far away from that. Even in India, we see the present generation, young people are growing up, they don't know anything. That whole parampara within the family system, the parents and grandparents used to teach the children, at least the stories from Mahabharata and some ideas, at least something, at least superficially they used to teach, but even that is gone now. So Prabhupada's idea was to revolution. Revolution means to come round again, back to the original point. Revolution, of course there are so many revolutions all over the world, but revolution to bring society back to sanity. The modern society is insane. It doesn't make any sense. Even in the name of religion, what's going on in the name of religion? What is going on? You see, you're out there in the villages and so many bogus ideas. It's difficult to preach Krishna consciousness because people have so many wrong ideas. So this is Prabhupada's mission. As our really kind father, he's teaching us, taught us, be Krishna conscious. Spread Krishna consciousness to others. People are suffering for lack of this. They think they'll be happy. If I have so-called freedom to enjoy myself, I'll be happy. But no. You're not. By living like an animal, you can't be happy. And you'll simply become an animal in your next life. People have no knowledge of this. Very foolish civilization. So what a big job we have to establish this. Even among our own devotees, it's not so easy to start to... Even it's written in Prabhupada's books, it's in Shastra. Because of being brought up in a different way, so many devotees think that... They say, but Prabhupada, we sometimes hear that they say, well, Prabhupada came from India and didn't really understand what's going on in the Western world and his ideas were out of date. And Prabhupada was teaching 30 years ago and the world has changed so much, so we have to make up a new system according to international law or something. Very strange ideas. But we're reading the Bhagavata. We may also read so many other things. But our substance, our Shastra, gospel truth, is Srimad Bhagavatam, which gives the proper idea for human society. Kalo nashta drishamesha purana ko dhunodita. This Srimad Bhagavatam will give light in Kali Yuga, in the darkness. We can bring some candles. There may be, just like we may compose, there may be United Nations charters and international laws, which are some ideas to try to make human society nice and proper, but it's like a, at the best, it's like a candle. If not adding more darkness, it's like a candle. Whereas the light, the sunlight of knowledge, is Srimad Bhagavatam. This knowledge is required for human society. This was written by Vyasadeva to give light to people in the age of Kali who are suffering in the darkness, to distinguish reality from illusion for the benefit of all. This is the purpose of Srimad Bhagavatam. So as Prabhupada often noted, within the Bhagavatam, there are all clues for social, not only spiritual. It's not that we have spiritual instructions and then we chant Hare Krishna and then socially we do whatever we like, whatever we think best. But everything, Shastra means that which regulates the whole of human society. So in Bhagavatam, economic, social, psychological, all solutions of that for human society, if we can adopt them and implement them, that will be for the greatest benefit of human society. Hare Krishna. So you're preaching, you have a big job to do. At least the books are going out. That will have its effect, at least that can start, if at least it will start people thinking what to do. This we should write at this conference. This Bhagavatam, this is supposed to give the knowledge and the light, distinguishing reality from illusion.
That's what I wrote today. I wrote it. For instance, one devotee.
These books are the law books for 10,000 years, Prabhupada said. Not that you have to change it all within 30 years.
The purport of Bhagavad Gita 3:21, you know, Sayatramana Purti, Yadyadacha, Vishishta. So Prabhupada says, there is just exactly what you said. There are Shastras, you must follow one of the streets, very clearly written there.
Time and circumstance. Now we'll change everything in Prabhupada's books. We don't like all these things. There's so many things which don't fit in the modern age, 30 years later, less than 30 years later, so we have to cut and delete, not even paste, delete. cut and paste it over the mouths of those who want to speak Shastra.
What he's saying is that I don't believe that women should only be in the house. I think that there should be other jobs. I said, yes, that's okay. We agreed. I said, we agreed that you can distribute books or, you know, preach. I said, but Prabhupada himself never made a GBC or a temple president, never appointed a woman. So what do you think about that? And then I got in face that. And lead a horse to water.
Now, what is more dangerous are these ideas that are being propagated to substantiate this so many bogus ideas that we have to adjust Prabhupada's teachings to time, place, and circumstance, and that he didn't really understand the Western mentality, or even out and out saying that he made mistakes, which is one is. That the first kind of argument is bordering on offense, and the second argument is absolutely offensive. Absolutely. But it's coming more and more. It's very insidious. Right there in Vrindavan on Prabhupada's disappearance day, in a meeting that was called to honor Prabhupada, we were told by sannyasi, disciple of Prabhupada, that Prabhupada was wrong.
You can understand if someone from another institution does it
out of envy or something.
But
And this is very insidious. We have to be very careful. There are so many funny ideas going on. Prabhupada made mistakes. He didn't really understand what he was doing, or he didn't give us the highest thing. He didn't give us the highest thing. There's so many things. Well, then you could say he made a mistake coming to the Western countries. He made a mistake initiating so many people who fell down. He made Nanda Kumara Sannyasi, who was falling down left, right, and center. He made him a sannyasi. He lasted 2 weeks. Saved him for 2 weeks at least.
I try to explain that.
Prabhupada himself, Prabhupada was asked, why are you making sannyasis from young men? And Prabhupada said, I give a chance. If they misuse it, it's their fault. And giving them the chance, Prabhupada said. And not only sannyasi, but anyone, Brahman initiation. And for anyone to fall down is
no, but there are some people who live in the pro parampara camp, guru camp, who say that Prabhupada didn't appoint me. But I spoke to Puri Maharaj and he talked to Prabhupada 2 weeks before he disappeared. He was 100% aware that he had appointed. It's not that he asked him, why haven't you appointed 11, why haven't you appointed 1? The Prabhupada had said, well, you know, he made some explanation, which, you know, it's obvious if anybody's really broad-minded and open-minded about it, you know, he had to accept that Prabhupada was cognizant of the fact that he had appointed people. He took a risk. It's not that he made a mistake, but there's a